They love Star Wars. They love comic books. But they really love football. It's Nick and Cecil. Here's former Bronco Nick Ferguson and DenverFan.com's Cecil Lennon.
So, yeah.
No, you since you
all right. Let's get to that Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. Talk about those Colorado Rockies with MILBs and DenverFan.com. Rockies insider. He's Tyler Maughan. And Tyler, things haven't been going well against the Giants, and specifically, how do the Rockies turn this thing around? And why do I get so depressed when I talk about this team, dude? Because like I just the back of my mind, I'm thinking 100. The back of my mind, I'm thinking Trevor Story's gone. Like, the back of my mind, like, I think of the old chant, it just doesn't matter. So how do Rockies fans come to grip with this, you know, this Giants thing, and then, of course, coming up against the Dodgers? And how do they come to grips with, like, what really is going to matter for this team, and who's really going to be here when all is said and done?
Well, first off, man, it's so good to talk to you again.
Yes.
I know it's been forever, but it's great to be back with you. It's, not a real fun weekend, as you would imagine. It's so annoying because, you know, the Rockies deal with the Coors Field hangover when they go on the road anywhere, but going to San Francisco or San Diego is just like the worst possible combination. You go from a place in Coors Field where, you know, you're hitting and approaching things at the plate one way, and then the basically polar opposite of that in a baseball context is immediately going to San Francisco, where you're playing on the water, you're in the Bay Area, the weather is different, the way pitches break is different, all of that stuff. So you kind of knew it was going to be a struggle of an offensive weekend, but definitely to go in and play a three-game series and come away with four runs scored is just so infuriating. This is kind of, we knew that right out of the gate, this was not going to be an easy road for them early on. I mean, they get the Dodgers twice in their first four series. The Giants, I think, are going to be pretty well improved this year. The Mets come into town. The Mets are good. Then the Astros come to town. The Astros obviously are a very good team. The Phillies, I think, are still a team that could make some noise in that division. April was never going to be kind to this team, and especially not so with Nolan Arenado gone. Right now, I think this is a team that is learning that they're going to be able to pitch, but they, very infuriatingly don't really have a whole lot of offensive threats. And, you mentioned Trevor Story. I think he's a short timer. And when you lose somebody like that, eventually, whenever that happens, you kind of look at this team and think, like, where are they going to get run production from? Because right now, if it's not Ryan McMahon or Chris Owings, and I don't think Chris Owings' performance is really that sustainable, if it's not Ryan McMahon, it doesn't really seem like it's going to be anybody, and that is pretty concerning right now.
So, Tyler, if you're Bud Black and you understand the issues that you are having with your rosters, I mean, what do you do? I mean, at the end of the day, what could he do to help himself out if you know that scoring runs is going to be an issue?
Yeah, I mean, I think at this stage, you know, you've got to make sure that you're in a circumstance where you're giving guys like Ryan McMahon every day at bats. And finally, I think we're in a circumstance where he is going to be, a guy that they look at getting in the lineup every single day. I mean, he didn't start on opening day, which is just like the most baffling thing ever. They went with Chris Owings because it was a left-on-left matchup. And, you know, Ryan McMahon then, I think it was the next night, hit a homer off of a lefty. Like, if you're the Rockies in this circumstance right now, you have to commit to getting your young guys the work. Because if this is a rebuild, if this is a team that's going to finish last place or going to finish second to last place in this division, like, there's no sense in running somebody like Chris Owings out there on a regular basis. There's no sense, I know he's on the injured list right now, but there's no sense in going with veterans who aren't really going to be here long term. Like, just commit to the fact that this is not a team that's going to be in the playoffs this year and see what you have with some of these young guys. Now, I think this team is going to be very well benefited when Brendan Rodgers gets back, and hopefully that'll be within the next couple of weeks since he was hurt in spring training. It's kind of a, I don't want to say it's a make or break year from him, but I think the Rockies really need to see something from Brendan Rodgers. But if we get back into a circumstance where Brendan Rodgers is on this roster and for whatever reason he's playing two or three games a week and not every single day, then I don't know what you do, because at that stage, you're in this weird, you know, 1 foot in, 1 foot out, where you're kind of committing to some of the young guys like Dom Nunez, but you're also not really committing to all the other guys. At this stage, I think they need to just say, like, hey, we got to figure out who is here and who is going to be here going forward, and see what the actual talent level of the production from those guys is. Because if you don't do that, you're just committing to another several years of being in this, you know, kind of purgatory of mediocrity.
That's what it feels like. Thankfully, our guy Tyler Mon is here to help from MILB and also our DenverFan.com. Rockies Insider will be checking in with him regularly. He is Tyler Mon, friend of the show. And Tyler, you and I have had a conversation about Jeff Breidich when he was hired. You know, and obviously I trust your opinion on all things baseball. And if you remember, like, I was like, oh, I like it, you know, as a baseball guy, making baseball decisions. And I know some people even in the media had opposed the hiring and saying, like, he's a mouthpiece for the Monfords. And like, all right, now that we've had years to look back on it, and obviously the Nolan Arenado thing, what's your opinion on the move now? Because obviously mine has changed.
Yeah, I think, you know, when he was hired, my take on it was, if the Rockies would have hired this exact same guy with this exact same pedigree from the Dodgers or the Rays or the Giants or the Athletics or whoever, I think you look at it and think, man, that's a really good hire. And I still thought it was at the time. I think the Rockies opened themselves up to very valid criticism by people saying they're still just doing the exact same stuff. They're not looking outside the organization. They're not trying to shake anything up. Which I think was valid, especially in retrospect now. I think, you know, you have a general manager leave, and the idea that you wouldn't open that search up outside your own four walls is kind of perplexing. You know, at this stage, I think we've seen that Jeff Breidich has the ability to do certain things pretty well. Unfortunately, those things are not signing major league free agents, certainly, and they don't really seem to be executing trades. You know, I mean, Jeff Breidich has done, you know, the player development has still been pretty good. They've hit on a lot of, like, minor league signings that have worked out pretty well. You look at somebody like Mark Reynolds a couple years ago, guys they kind of brought in on the cheap. Like, that stuff is fine. I think he does that stuff okay, but those need to be complementary pieces for an organization. You can have a GM whose best tactic is, oh, he can find guys on the scrap heap and turn them into, like, replacement-level players. Because if you're whiffing on the major stuff, like they have been with trades and like they certainly have with free agent signing, the rest of those things don't matter. So I think, you know, in the large scheme, obviously this tenure has been a pretty substantial failure. I think one thing is Jeff Breidich takes the blame for 100% of things, which, you know, as a general manager, you kind of have to. But I also think he is hamstrung a lot by the fact that, you know, you're working for an organization that does not do things in a very progressive manner. The Rockies are not on the cutting edge of anything, whether it's analytical work, you know, the way players try to rehydrate and rest and all of the health components that go into things, strength training, all that kind of stuff. Like, the Rockies are not an outside-the-box organization, and they need to be the most outside-the-box organization. And I think, you know, Jeff Breidich was given an extremely short leash by Major League Baseball standards to go out and, you know, sign free agents and make trades and do things to make this team better. And when he flopped on those, I think that leash was immediately yanked back. And there's no room for error here. There's no room for error in Colorado with this ownership group and in this market and the way things work with that front office. And unfortunately, they've made substantial errors. And now they're in a point where I don't think the emphasis on the front lines of what they're trying to do at Coors Field is about making the product on the field competitive anymore. I think it's about, okay, how can we get back to a point where we have people in the ballpark, we're making some money, and then we can try to tackle that stuff down the road. And that's really frustrating. You know, I think Jeff Breidich is also a guy who probably knows at this stage he's not going to be a major league general manager after this job. Yep. It just hasn't worked. And I don't think there's any other organization who looks at the way that the Rockies have handled anything in the public eye, or look at the way that, you know, they've handled anything and how they deal with other teams. I don't think any other organization would look at that and think, yeah, we'll give that guy a shot. And that's, you know, that's a bummer for him and for whatever comes next in his career. But right now, you know, the way it sits, it looks like he's going to be in that job for quite some time. So it's, you know, it just kind of leaves you scratching your head a little bit, which this franchise is very good at doing.
Well, I was speaking of that and thinking of headspace. I mean, the Rockies have done great on their home field. On the road, not so much this season. You dropped three games on the road to the Giants. Now you have to travel to Los Angeles, a team that you beat to start the opener of the season and have, you know, Rockies fans celebrating. What kind of headspace are the Rockies in right now, knowing as though you head into three games on the road against the Dodgers?
You know, I think the good thing about this series is they're not going in as the Dodgers home opening series. The Dodgers already, you know, they got the ring ceremony out of the way. They got the flyover, all the opening day stuff. Obviously, that is an extraordinarily talented team over there, and the Rockies are probably going to lose this series and may very well get swept. But they were competitive in every game in that series, with the exception maybe of Trevor Bauer's start on Friday. You know, they lost the third game of that series 6-5. They lose the last game 4-2. You know, and they won the opener. I think that series could have pretty easily been a split. And, you know, one thing you talk about in baseball, especially so much early on in a season, is it's all about splitting or winning series. You don't have to go on a 10-game winning streak in April. You'd like to, but you don't have to do that. If you can go to Los Angeles and you can somehow get 2 out of 3, then all of a sudden you look at yourself, you're a 3-4 team against the reigning World Series champions. You feel okay about that, and you come home for 3 straight home series against the Mets and the Astros and the Phillies. But the thing is going to be, what is that offense going to look like? Because, you know, you come off a weekend in which you have opportunities, especially, you know, yesterday against the Giants. You got guys on base, can't come through. They had first and second, nobody out. I think in the sixth inning, they end up going, you know, without a run in that inning. They get shut out for the game. It's all going to be incumbent on the offense. And that's what's honestly so baffling about the Rockies for the last few seasons is, this team, throughout all of franchise history, is, well, they can hit, can they pitch? The last 3-4 years, it's been, this team, more often than not, pitching's going to keep them in it, but they just don't hit. And I think it's a misnomer, this idea of, oh, well, you just know they're going to put up runs. That's not really the case with this team, and it hasn't been for the last few years. So somebody else has to be able to step up. And whether that's, you know, C.J. Cron, who I think at some point is probably going to break out at first base, or can Josh Fuentes be a replacement level type of hitter? Can Garrett Hampson be, you know, what we've seen, his capacity to be at a major league level? Is Charlie Blackmon going to turn it around? I think that's really concerning. Yes. Charlie Blackmon right now looks really rough. And, yes, you know, he's a guy who turns 35 this year. You know, outfielders, especially at Coors Field, do not get better, really after the age of 30. And the Rockies handed him a lot of money to stick around for a while. He's a 34-year-old guy who has an OPS of 634 right now. Like, that's really concerning to me. Does Raimel Tapia get anything back? Like, they need to have one or two other hitters, so it's not just, okay, well, if Ryan McMahon doesn't beat us, there's seven other dudes in this lineup who we know aren't going to present any trouble to us, so we really just have to wait out one or two guys. They really need that in Los Angeles this weekend. I think that's going to be key to at least get one and maybe set yourself up for a rubber game where you can try to go for a series win.
He is Tyler Mon. I call him Tyler Man Mon, Nick, just so you know. And also, it's not Big Fun Friday, Tyler. We usually do like a sharing with friends segment on Big Fun Friday. But it's always fun with you here on Monday and talking with you on air. And just so Nick can kind of learn a little bit more about you before I let you out of here. Buddy, I got to know, how's the hat collection coming on? Because, Nick,
oh man,
you think I have a lot of Jordans? No.
Oh,
my
boy.
Man Tyler Mon,
oh, boy,
has a rare collection, rare, unique, limited hat collection that you will not believe. How's it going, Tyler?
It is formidable. I mean, since we worked together, so for backstory, Cecil and I worked together in 2014 at another station. Since then, I actually got one of my, like, 19 jobs, because, you know, you work in sports media, you got to work a million things.
So I
worked for this organization that is, it's essentially the equivalent of FIFA, but for baseball. So I've gotten to travel around the world, broadcast a bunch of World Cup tournaments and do all that. I think I've gone to 10 or 11 different countries and broadcast these World Cup tournaments. And
wow.
So now, like, I'm getting into this international team collecting thing. So I've got hats of teams from Colombia and Mexico and Japan and Italy and Korea. And so the collection is probably peak right now. Like, I don't know if the collection will ever be better than it is right now. I'm very proud of it at the moment. It's like 125 fitted hats, I want to say, at the moment.
Wow.
So I'm pretty stoked with it right now. I'm pretty proud of it.
Nice. Nice. You got to see it.
That's a lot of hats.
That is a ton of hats. He wears many hats, and he wears them well. He is Tyler Maughan, our Rockies insider at DenverFan.com. Also, check him out at MILB.com as well. Tyler, always a pleasure, buddy. We'll be catching up with you every week.
Sounds great, guys. Good to talk to you.
There we have him on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline, Tyler Maughan, talking about Rockies baseball. Oh, things do not look good. Things look a little bleak in Colorado Rockies baseball. And it's Nick and Cecil here on the Fan. And when one man's trash quickly turns into more trash or maybe treasure, that's next.